Welcome to this special episode of Reliability Matters. I consider myself a bit of a trade show geek. I've been attending, speaking, or exhibiting at trade shows and industry conferences and symposiums since 1985. Back in my earlier career, there was at least a dozen shows and conferences to attend annually. As our industry began to consolidate, so did many of the trade shows and conferences. Today, there are only a handful of events dedicated to the electronic assembly space. One of these events is Surface Mount Technology Association International, better known as SMTAI. This event is historically held in the Chicago area in September of each year. This year, the year of the global pandemic, is bringing substantial challenges to the trade show and conference business. SMTAI, like many other industry events, has turned virtual. Even during a global pandemic, the need to seek solutions to technical problems exists. Technical problems do not know such terms as quarantine or social distancing. The need to seek solutions to challenges remains even during these times. That's why I invited my guests on today's program. Please welcome SMTA's Global Executive Director, Tanya Martin, and SMTA's Global Board Member, Greg Vance, as we talk about this year's SMTAI exhibition and technical conference, both to be held in a virtual format.
Welcome to Reliability Matters, a podcast for the electronic assembly industry. Each episode covers topics related to reliability, best practices, and environmentally responsible assembly techniques, with insights from experts across the electronic assembly industry. Now, here's your host, Mike Conrad.
Tanya Martin, Greg Vance, welcome to Reliability Matters. Thank you for being my guests today on this program. I really appreciate your willingness to talk about SMTAI. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So this happened. We now have a virtual event. SMTAI has been around for several years in a physical form, usually Chicagoland area, Schaumburg or Rosemont or Chicago. We've been going there for a number of years, and it's been a great show. And now with the pandemic, physical shows are kind of a no-no at the moment. So it's turned virtual, and this is, from what I can tell, at least in our space, the electronic assembly industry space, the surface mount technology space, this is like the first major show that's gone virtual. So no pressure, Tanya, right? No pressure. But tell me what led to the decision to march forward and go with a virtual version of what used to be a physical show.
Yeah, I guess with this whole lockdowns and the changes that happened with the result of COVID, starting in March, we had a number of local shows that were planned. And as those all started to topple and needing to be rescheduled into later dates or into 2021, coming upon the planning of SMTA International, we knew that at that time it's still so important to bring together the industry, that we wanted to move forward in a different manner, and use a virtual platform where we can still disseminate that technical knowledge, put on a really good conference, and still bring aspects of the networking and connection to the industry.
Yeah. So how was the selection process sent to choose a technology that would be easy for attendees to use and robust enough to handle the load of all these technical presentations and exhibition stuff that's going to go on? Was that already known by staff at SMTA, or was that something that had to be kind of figured out?
I wish it was already known. No. We'd have to find that sweet spot where we could really have a robust system that made for good experience on the technical side, as well as the expo. Both are equally important. So with the help of a lot of other resources, meaning human resources outside of SMT International, in the meeting planning space, I was able to tap into that that community to help with some of the research that they have done. Obviously, there are multiple platforms out there. So just narrowing it down, we were able to get the support that we needed, you know, with a few additional software add-ons to augment the experience. But yeah, it was a collective effort with other staff members for sure, right, Making sure that their sections of the event would be supported.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who, Greg, go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment, when the whole COVID-19, broke out back in early March, as a board with Tanya, we started meeting every week. And I recall this as I was just thinking as Tanya was talking, from the first meeting, there was this emphasis on the show must go on. So, we have time, it's March, we're going to keep working and evaluating what our options are. But I believe it was come around April, Tanya and her team were out looking at what the options were for these to host a virtual technical show and a virtual expo, so that we had time to evaluate what we needed and choose the right tool that we think is going to be make for a successful event going forward.
Yeah, excellent. I'm excited to see how it all works and the integration of it all. What we're looking at right here is the virtual lobby. Tanya, tell me about help me guide me through this virtual convention center. So when attendees arrive, so to speak, they go into this virtual lobby. And then there's choices from the lobby to go into the exhibition floor and the conference room. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. When looking at the different virtual environments, we wanted to make sure it was very simple to use as an end user. There weren't too many things to click on when you first came in. That was just really a simplified yet robust program. So we chose this platform where when you walk in, you will see some sponsor logos on the back to help support some of those really important suppliers that have supported us, as well as just an easy, to the left will be the expo hall, to the right will be your auditorium or technical conference, and then you'll have a help section as well. What you're scrolling into here is the auditorium. So if you have registered for the technical conference, this is where you'll access all the different presentations.
Yeah, very good. And this would be booths. This is the exhibit hall here?
Yes. Yep. That's the exhibit hall. Right now, we have currently about half of the exhibitors that we had at the face-to-face. So we're excited to welcome them to our virtual expo. Still in conversations with a lot of other companies as well. So when you log in, you will see the expo floor. You'll be able to go visit all the different booths. You'll be able to search the different booths by company name, chat live one-on-one with them, either in text or video. We are having 3 days of a live expo, with the remainder being a static expo through October 23rd.
So that explains the long dates. The actual virtual exhibition is more traditionally timed. It's from September 28th to 30th, but the conference is going on for almost a month, so September 28th to October 23rd, so a few weeks at least. And information will be available from the exhibitors through that extended period of time as well?
Yeah. I can just go back real quick here and explain the dates. The show kicks off on September 28th, both the conference and the expo. On the conference side, all presentations will be on demand. So you can easily navigate through which track, by keyword, by topic that you would like to stream those presentations. They will be available from September 28th to October 23rd, 24 hours a day. The expo portion will also kick off on September 28th. They will be live dates where you can communicate back and forth with an exhibitor from the 20th to the 30th, but the expo will also remain open through the 23rd, where you will still be able to visit the booths, download documents and brochures, click through to watch live demonstrations if the exhibitors should choose that, view videos, et cetera.
So unlike a physical conference where multiple presentations, technical presentations are given at the same time and you have to choose which track, which one you want to go see, this actually potentially allows an attendee to view all of them, right? I mean, if they really wanted to view all of them, they don't have to make a choice between going into room number one or room number two, where two simultaneous presentations are going on.
All right. Right. And that's something I'm looking forward to specifically, Mike, because SMTA International is always a week of, it's a week long marathon, right? You have the schedule of where you're, you know, what papers you want to see, vendors you want to visit with. And all of that, for me personally, has always been slotted into half hour or 45 minute to 1 hour time slots. And you're constantly running back and forth from the technical papers that you want to have the opportunity to hear, as well as the show floor. So with this, I'm looking forward that we're going to be able to space it out. And we can focus on the show aspect of it and making the contacts with the vendors on the technologies that are of interest to us, looking for those new innovations out there that we've always tried to find when we go to shows, and as well as participating in the conference in less of an exhaustive back-to-back-to-back method.
Yeah, I remember as an exhibitor, it was always frustrating when there was a huge crowd on the exhibit floor, and then all of a sudden at, you know, 5 minutes to the hour, the crowd disappeared, and, you know, they all went back to their technical sessions, and then we could tell when the technical sessions were on break because the crowds would show up again on the show floor. So this is really an opportunity to spend as much time as needed with exhibitors and the products that they are promoting, and attend the conference. There's no conflict between the two now. There's no competition between the two, and there's no competition between presentations because they're all available on demand, which is, you know, I think a huge benefit over a live show.
Right. Given the situation, it's a perfect opportunity to test this format out to see how it goes. And long term, you never know. It may. I would say it's never going to replace that face-to-face format, but we may end up down the road with some augmented version of it to support individuals' opportunity to participate that may not be able to physically come to the show themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely. I think that the timing of the show is good in a kind of a bad kind of way. The timing is good in that we've all been locked down for so long. Even the least computer literate person now is more familiar with digital communication technology. I mean, the word Zoom is going to end up in our dictionary, not as the way we knew it in February. Zoom was something that you did on a camera. You zoomed in on something.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, it's a communication protocol. So I think the timing is good that more people will feel comfortable with a virtual experience, because that's all they've had for the last several months. Are there any particular presentations? I was extremely impressed with the number of presentations. There's about 100 presentations scheduled for this show, which is amazing. And I think there's also 9, if I counted right, 9 professional development courses going on as well. Let's start with the presentations. Are there any presentations that kind of stand out that, that, you know, maybe personally you're looking forward to hearing at all?
I would defer that one to Greg.
Yeah. You're going to put me on the. I think spot. More in terms of tracks, right?
Yep.
Manufacturing excellence, all the papers from the manufacturing excellence track are draw me in. Solder alloys and anything to do with soldering, because that's what the common thread amongst all those in attendance at the show. We all form in one way or another solder joints. So those are the tracks that I tend to focus on, as well as going through the program. And for us, and I guess this, I'll take this as an opportunity to talk about it. attending in person SMTA International, as well as attending in the virtual format, I think to get the most out of it, an individual really needs to establish a plan of what they want to learn about. And that goes, that is true for the conference, as well as the exhibition side of the show as well. And we have the technical tracks up on SMTA. Right now, you can go into SMTA and go in, click into SMTA International, and you can see the different tracks. You can search by track. There we go across the top of the screen. The MFX, which I've presented at in the past and tends to draw me in. In particular, there's a presentation by Mike Savigny from SeaTac. He and I collaborate quite a bit together over the years, and different things that we can do to improve our quality and improve the productivity of our operations. I believe it's right there, number two on the list. So you have to put some effort into it to ensure that you get everything out. And the same goes for the expo. So ahead of the expo, we're going to have the program available digitally, that as an attendee, you can go through the program and have an understanding of who's participating. We're going to highlight, as we have in the print form in the past, we'll do it in the digital form, what's new, right? Why should I stop and visit Aqueous Technologies? What do you have to offer that is different that I don't know about? So what's new is been a feature, and we're going to try and even enunciate and highlight that even more, because you're not going to have the opportunity to roam the floor this year to see, hey, what's that gizmo over there? Let's go check it out. So that's one of the biggest challenges I see with the virtual environment, is connecting people. And we're going to have to work very closely with our exhibitors, and Tanya and the rest of the team are doing that, so that we can try and make very well known that there's something that's worth stopping here to check out and learn about.
Sure. Very good. Let them know ahead of time, because there is no, shiny object in the corner that they can just notice, as an impulse. So yeah, that's a good idea to put the word out ahead of time, so people are seeking something rather than just discovering something.
I think what's a little bit different this year too, that really added to one of the tracks, was in the past, we've always had a very successful lead-free symposium. And last year we had added on to a low temperature solder forum that was co-sponsored by Intel, and highlighted a lot of the work that they're doing along with the partners that they're working with. And with this being on a virtual platform versus having that separate forum, a lot of it got put into that lead-free, the LF track. So if you take a peek at that, at all the presentations in that track, it's some pretty hefty work that and research that's going on in that area. So that should be fun for people to watch those presentations. One of the big things that we wanted to maintain when we did decide to go virtual was the integrity of the technical information and research that was being put out. So not only is the program going to just be streamed presentations, but we also still have that proceedings, that conference proceedings that attendees will receive. So inside there, you will receive the technical paper, the manuscript written by the author, as well as a copy of the presentation if it's approved for distribution.
Yeah, excellent. I think one of the benefits is, as we said earlier, you're not going to miss out on anything. You have the opportunity to see everything, because everything is recorded and on demand. Number two, you can spend as much time on the show floor without missing anything out. Number three, think of all the money you're going to save not buying $18 hot dogs. And, that alone is worth a consideration.
Right.
So the technical presentations are on demand 24/7 for several weeks, as you pointed out. But then there's also professional development courses, which I understand are live courses. Is that a fact?
That is true. Yes, we have 9 this year. We wanted to space them out, as we know people need to get some work done in between there. So we have spaced them out through the course of the program, through the 28th through October, September through October. So yeah, they will be live starting at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, very good. And there are some heavy hitters in this list. I see Dr. Ning Ching Li from Indium. It's going to be talking about failure modes and achieving high reliability for lead-free solder joints. You know, everything there, of course, a solder company. They're going to talk about thermal cycling, electromigration, and tin whiskers, which is always a big topic these days. And then we also have Robert Hansen, who will be talking about testing and disciplines of testing bare boards and testing on the production line for minimum PPM defects. We have Dr. Jenny Huang. She's always very insightful. I love her presentations. They tend to go deep. Bring your scuba gear with you, because she really goes deep into the weeds on a number of subjects, and she'll be focusing on preventing prevailing production defects and product reliability issues that affect yield, cost, and performance through an understanding of potential causes and plausible solutions. I love the way she words that, plausible solutions. We also have several other courses. I won't go through them all. They're available on the smta.org website when you follow the links to SMTAI. But there's a number of other courses here, including one of my favorite, these guys right here. They call themselves the Soldering Brothers. They really are a kind of a routine. I want to say a technical version of Laurel and Hardy. But they,
it's a very popular course.
It's a very popular course. They're very popular consultants, and you'll leave learning things and laughing, you know, throughout most of the presentations. So I love the fact that they don't take themselves too seriously, but they do talk about serious subjects. So it's kind of the best of all worlds. There's a total of 9 courses. Theirs happens to be a 2-part course. Ray Prasad's in there as well, and others. So those will be live. They're what, I think 3.5 hours. If
that's correct.
Memory, yes. So, you know, grab a donut, a full cup of coffee. There'll be breaks in between. You know, you won't have to stare at a screen for 3.5 hours straight. I'd highly recommend that you sign up for those as well and check out the depths of information that's going to be offered for those courses. What else do we have, Tanya and Greg, to talk about for the show? Any other bullet points that you want our audience to hear?
Yeah, well, I'd like Tanya to talk about some of the networking and social aspects of that we have planned during SMTA International, which is tradition, right, from both a officer or chapter perspective, as well as just getting together and having some fun. So why don't we touch base on those?
Sure. We can talk about the fun side here. Not able to have any Woodstock parties or Mexican fiestas, but you know, we are planning a few different things to bring some people together. We have another robust SYP, Students and Young Professionals, program that we plan to be supporting over the course of a couple weeks. So we don't have everything on the same few days. There will be a happy hour for the young professionals that will include a mixology course. And I think you'll learn to make a few different cocktails, so that will be fun. Everything will be sent out in advance of what the ingredients list would be, so you're able to play along if you so choose. There is going to be the Jumpstart technical sessions again, which is more of a foundational series of technical presentations that's geared more towards the younger engineer. The same night as the happy hour for the students and young professionals, there will also be a happy hour. I think it's called For the Gray Hairs. I don't have the title right in front of me, but so it's a good balance on that. you know, we are still having a lot of the committee meetings that we normally would. It's just going to be obviously over Zoom or over a different platform. We're getting together all of our chapter officers to have a still like a grab and go, bring your lunch type of meeting. That'll be fun to get everybody back together again. That's always a nice luncheon. And on Wednesday, the 30th of September, we are also going to bring back our women's leadership program with the theme of taking a road trip with us. So I think we'll have a pretty fun couple weeks still getting together, even though we can't physically be together. Greg, did I miss anything there?
Nope, I think you got them all. So, you know, over the course of the last several months, you know, that personal connection with individuals is what we often miss. And even having the opportunity to get together this afternoon and chat with the two of you, you know, just brightens up my day. And we're hoping that the same is true as we progress through SMTA International 2020, that it provides an opportunity for participants to connect with friends that they've made over the years, learn something, and expand their understanding of different technologies within our industry.
Yeah, excellent. You had me in mixology course. I'm we could have stopped right. It right there. So.
But I guess we do. Sounds cool.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea. I was on vacation last year, back when we could travel. You know, remember the days of airplanes?
Way back there? Okay.
And we were in Puerto Rico, and we went to the Bacardi distillery and took a mixology course. And that was really interesting. That was a whole lot of fun. So this, good. You said mixology course, it brought back memories of that.
So, good. I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah.
Go online, go onto our website and register. Registration for SMTA International for both the conference as well as an expo-only attendee. That's all open. That went live yesterday. Right. So,
right. So, you know, as it has been in the past, anyone can attend the expo, no charge. The conference side of the program is a what we believe to be a reasonable or nominal fee this year, 2020. For SMTA members, it's just under $300, plus no plane ticket, no hotels, no dinners, no additional expenses. So we're hoping that companies can have more people participate, and individuals from companies that haven't had the ability to get to Chicago in the past, either due to they can't take that much time off of work or the additional costs, they couldn't overcome the cost of the travel, that this provides to them the opportunity to participate. And I know I had a conversation with my boss on Monday, and we had that discussion. I said, well, normally we send two or three individuals. What's our plan going to be this year? How can we divvy this up? And he was all on board for getting more of his team involved to participate in the event. So we're looking forward to that.
Excellent. I am looking forward to it as well. I do miss the camaraderie of seeing, you know, friendly faces and familiar faces and the after parties and all of that. But I think this, you know, makes up for it, because it will be a really good opportunity to learn and to get information that we are, you know, kind of starved for right now in these lockdown times. So I think the timing is very good for this event. And I think it'll be a very successful event. I'm looking forward to participating in it as a speaker and as an attendee. So I can't wait. So awesome. Thanks both of you, Tanya Martin, Global Executive Director for SMTA, and Greg Bantz, member of the Global Board of Directors for SMTA. Thank you so much for being here as my guests and talking about SMTAI and its new virtual presence. Maybe next year we'll all see each other again. I would look forward to that as well. But like you said, Greg, I think some of this digital will stick around once this whole pandemic thing is behind us. I think some of this virtual stuff will stick around. I think it has a place in modern society. So thanks for sharing. Thanks for all the work you and your whole teams are doing behind the scenes to keep this event moving forward. I know it's not easy, and you're really, you know, breaking ground on a lot of areas that you probably didn't think you'd be having to do. So thanks for doing that, and I look forward to seeing how this event rolls out, and I have no doubt it'll be successful.
Thanks for the talk. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, on a side note, just as we close, because virtual events are a little different, SMTA is going to be putting out snippets to what this experience is going to be like, as well as we'll have several webinars scheduled between now and the end of September so that we can introduce the event to attendees, to exhibitors, to presenters, just to help everyone get comfortable with the format so that when you show up on the 28th, you're ready to roll.
Yeah, I would second that, Greg, that we're trying to make this as easy as possible. Some of the virtual stuff is scary to some folks. They don't want to get in and not know where to go, how to access different things. And it's important that our exhibitors feel comfortable with the technology as well, and that it's a good experience for them. So one thing that we're doing is scheduling times with every single one of our exhibitors to give them a personal walkthrough and answer some of those questions that they might have.
Excellent. So you don't have anyone, you know, doing the typical, you know, Zoom thing or
Totally.
We have the technology to show an entire face. We don't need to limit it to half a face.
I can just see your eyes in the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, those are my favorite moments. But
right.
I'll miss those days. But I think also the bandwidth requirements to receive these things are actually relatively low because of, you know, one-way communication. And so you don't need much bandwidth. Just your cell phone has enough bandwidth on it to download and view these presentations. So don't be too scared about having to have, you know, gig speed internet. The actual requirements these days with the marvels of video compression and audio compression are such that, you know, even the old dial-up connections would probably suffice to get this material down to your computer. So it's not as intimidating as it might seem. And if you're watching this, you already know that because you're already on. So we're probably preaching to the choir there. I'm preaching to the choir there. Well, thanks again for joining me. Thanks for being part of this. And again, as I said earlier, thanks for all your effort to keep this show moving forward. I look forward to seeing the results of it. I'm sure they'll be quite fruitful. So,
thanks, Mike.
Enjoy the rest of the day. Work on those mixology recipes. I'll look forward to previewing those.
We'll send you the recipes.
Preview. Test them out.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity, Mike.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Tony. Well, that's another episode. Thanks for listening to the Reliability Matters podcast. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Reliability Matters on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. Reliability Matters and other reliability-based podcasts are available at Circuit Assembly's PCB Chat at pcbchat.com and at Ascendo Reliability at reliability.fm. Thanks for your comments. Please keep them coming. Send comments and episode suggestions to Mike at mikeconrad.com. That's Conrad with a K. Until next time, thanks for listening and keep doing it right.
Thanks for listening to the Reliability Matters podcast. Join us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for new episodes of Reliability Matters.